You're listening to the Hill City Teaching Podcast, a recording of the Sunday morning service at Hill City Church. We would love to have you join us in person. More information can be found at www.hillcity.church.
You know, I never wanted to be a princess, ever. And I think that's why God gave me four boys, because seriously, because I didn't get into all of the girly princess stuff. But pretty soon I'm going to have my very first granddaughter. So, right? I know. And so pink, I'm starting to like the color pink. I've never liked the color pink before. So now I'm starting to like the color pink because I'm going to be like immersed in it pretty soon, right? Okay. Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Eileen, Noah's mom. Right there in front. And I am going to be bringing the word today. So we're going to get started. Today we are continuing in a series called Anthem of Hope. Anthem of Hope. And we're going to be settling in on 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. That's our verse that we're really going to be digging into. But then there's a bunch of other verses that we're going to be working on. And I am going to be talking about being an ambassador for Christ. Okay? And I might get a little, it might get a little sticky. Let's start right in at 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. It is up on the board. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. I want you to remember that. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Verse 520, thank you. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Okay. So Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, and he said, when he said therefore, and if you know anything about English, you know that when you say therefore before a sentence, you're saying for that reason. So Paul was saying that when we have made the best decision of our lives, accepting Christ as our Savior, we become Christ's followers, right? We no longer should be living for ourselves, but living for Jesus. Therefore, and for that reason, we are reconciled with God through Jesus, because he died on the cross for our sins. He shed his blood for us. Therefore, we're reconciled to God. We no longer should see ourselves and others through a worldly lens, but through the lens of Jesus Christ. See, because when we're standing here and Jesus is here, God is there. God sees us through the lens of Jesus. So that's how we need to see ourselves also, and others for that matter. And I think in order to fully understand what Paul is saying here and what this means, we need to find out what an ambassador is. And I did a little bit of research. The United States has 189 appointed ambassadors. I think it's a little excessive, but that's their job. And the Google Dictionary says this about ambassadors: an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. And Merriam-Webster, which I think is the one we should all be using, is a diplomatic agent of the highest rank accredited to a foreign government or sovereign as a resident representative of his or her own government or sovereign. And the second definition was an authorized representative or messenger. So an ambassador is someone sent to represent the one who sent them, a king, a prime minister, a president, to another country, to live in that country, to be the spokesperson for the country that sent them. So they have full authority. They have so much authority. They can write documents, sign documents in place of the president or the prime minister, whoever. But what's the mission of a Christ ambassador? That's what we're going to focus on. If we're Christ representatives, I would venture to guess we should be more Christ-like. Don't you agree? In our words, in our actions, in how we view people, how we go out into this world and talk to people, they need to be able to see Jesus in us. That's a Christ ambassador. That's our mission. See, when Jesus before he ascended into heaven, he came to he was on the hill, and he was talking to all the people. These people had gathered, and the disciples were all there. And this is what he said. He said, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, for that reason, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. And surely I will be with you until the end of days." See, when Jesus did that, he again told them to wait. I've had this conversation with y'all before. He said, wait. He said, I'm going to be sending someone to you. And he sent us the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit gives us the authority, the power and the authority to go and be Christ's ambassadors. Because Jesus said, I've been given all the authority, therefore I'm giving it to you. Because I'm no longer going to be among the people. You are. So you can start right here in your homes, in your neighborhoods, in your workplace, on your teams, at the gym. You can start right there. You can be Christ's ambassadors to your family and your friends, to your neighbors, to your coworkers, to your teammates. That's your mission. That's what you've been called to do. See, God chose you. God chose you, Quinn. He chose you, Shannon. He chose you, Marianne, as a singular, powerful representative of who he is. He chose you to give the message of redemption and reconciliation to the people that you come in contact with. He didn't say you need to be a missionary and go to another country. It starts right here at home. It starts right here in your neighborhood, right here in your family unit. It starts for you to say, I know Jesus. Let me bring you to him. Let me introduce you to my Jesus. That's where it starts. Bertram's favorite verse, I'm thinking it's Bertram's favorite verse. He says it all the time. Does anybody know what it is? John 10:10. That's right. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come to give you life and life to the full. He lives by that. You should want that for your circle of people. You should want that for the people you come in contact with. That's powerful. You should want them to have eternal life and a full life. What are you here for if you don't want that for someone else? You already have it. Why would you not want that for the people you come in contact with? For the people that God puts in your path that are unbelievers or that are sort of believers, not quite sure what to think. That's a privilege that we have. And when I was writing that down, it literally brought tears to my eyes. It's a privilege to be an ambassador of Christ. You already have eternal life. Why would you not want that for someone else? So the qualifications to become an ambassador of the United States, or I'm assuming any other country, is maybe political science classes, poli-sci majors, I don't know, language. Maybe international history. What do you think the qualifications are for a Christ ambassador? It's simple. Spending more time with Jesus. We hear this every single week here at Hill City. Spend more time with Jesus. The more time we spend with Jesus, the more we get to comprehend how amazing, how beautiful, how utterly loved we are by God. That he sent his son for us. That's such a gift. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more you begin to take on those attributes of Jesus. See, crowds of people would always surround Jesus. They followed him wherever he went. He drew them in to himself. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of it was because they wanted to be healed, the miracles he was performing, but it was also the way he talked to them. It was the way he spoke truth to them. He spoke kindness and compassion and forgiveness. He drew them in that way. When we spend time with Jesus, we recognize those attributes and we want those for ourselves. And the more time you spend with them, you begin to develop those fruits of the Spirit, that kindness, that compassion, that love, that joy. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says this, For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being served and those who are perishing. So when we go out and we're kind and we're gentle and we're compassionate, we're loving, we're joyful, we're forgiving, remember that word, it creates opportunity for you to fulfill that ambassadorship of Christ. We become that pleasing aroma. It draws people into us. We don't put off a stench of judgment or condemnation to them. So here's a point I want you to make. If you're taking notes, some of you may be taking notes. Let Jesus make you what you aren't. If you don't already have those fruits of the Spirit, if you're not developing those fruits of the Spirit because you're not spending time with Jesus, let him change you. Let him make you what you're not already. Give in to what he's called you to be. Step out of your comfort zone and give in. You see, I have to work on that myself. There's things that I have to work on. And I'm like, okay, God, change me. Change me. Make me what I'm not. Make me what you need me to be. If you aren't spending time, even short bursts of time in your day, with the one who created you, talking to him, reading his word, spending time with him. And I'm not talking hours on end, although that'd be great. He would love it. But just short, on your way to work, talk to him. I talk to him all the time. If I have a job up in Denver, I'm talking to him the whole way. Little moments like that. You're not going to see change if you don't spend time with Jesus. All right. So we talk about the mission of an ambassador. What's our mission? We just covered that. Our mission is to go out and tell Jesus, draw people in, tell them who Jesus is in their life. But what motivates us as an ambassador? Are you getting the pattern here? There's an M going, mission, motivate, okay? And what motivations or influences keep us from our mission? We're gonna go into that. So our motivation should be twofold. Should be our desire to be obedient to who God's called us to be, right? That's normal. That should be everyone's motivation. But secondly, it's our desire to change people's hearts by sharing the gospel and bringing hope to those who need it most. That's your second motivation. We should be concerned about their eternal life. I've already touched on that. Our stories matter. Our testimony matters. Our testimony is our story. Start there. Start there. Tell people why you love Jesus. Tell people how Jesus changed your life. That's how you draw them in also. Because they see a change in you and they're like, I think I want that. Your unbelieving family members and friends, the folks you have in your lives, sometimes it's as simple as saying, look, I know this guy. His name is Jesus. And when I was going through a really tough time, he walked me through it. Let me introduce you to him. And then maybe even telling them the gospel. We're all sinners, even me. I'm not righteous in any way. And sin separates us from God. But Jesus came. God gave us his son. And he came and he died on the cross for all sins, past, present, and future of all mankind, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. And when he rose again, sealed the deal. Tell him that. It's a message of hope. We talk about hope a lot here at Hill City. It's a message of hope. It's a message of love. Let me ask you this. It's a hard question, you guys. Where would you be today if you had never heard that message? Where would you be today if you had never heard that message of hope and love? What would your life look like? That should be your motivation. Let your message be your motivation. Okay, so that's motivation in the right direction. Now we're going to talk about what motivations and influences will keep you from fulfilling your mission. 2 Corinthians 3:15-16 says this. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I could sing that.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. All right, let me break this down for us. It might be a stretch, but we're going to do it anyways. Moses would wear a veil. Moses would go into the tent of meeting and talk with God on the daily. And when he would come out, he would be glowing. And he would put a veil over his face. Why? Because it scared the people. I think it would be kind of cool. But I'm going to look at it from a different point of view. It distorted the view that people had of him. Come on in, have a seat. Have a seat. That veil distorted the view that people had of Moses. And you know, we put on a veil. Hang with me here on this one, okay? We put on a veil when we aren't in step with Jesus. When our worldviews take precedent over our kingdom views, that veil then distorts our view of Jesus. And in turn, it'll distort the view that people have of Jesus in us. Think that through for a minute. You let the veil keep you from spending time with Jesus. So what is the veil that you put on that does that? Is it pride? Is it judgment? Is it envy? Is it doubt? Is it worry? Is it fear? Is it the world around us? Is it apathy? Is it looking for the next big and better thing? 1 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4 says this, "For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please people, but God." Here's where it's going to get sticky. As Christ's ambassadors, we don't get to define. We don't get to decide who it is we stand for. We stand for God. We aren't ambassadors to pop culture. We're not ambassadors to social media. We're not ambassadors to clicks on TikTok. I think that's right. Social justice, political correctness, politics, whatever it is that you think you're standing for in the moment. We represent God. First, foremost, only, amen, the end. And there's freedom in that. It says so right in that scripture. When you realize who you represent, the veils of pride, judgment, envy, all of the things I just said, they're lifted away. And people can see Jesus in you, the real you. The one who loves Jesus, the one who wants to talk about Jesus, the one who isn't afraid of their faith. People can see clearly without that distortion. And you let the Spirit of the Lord transform you daily when you're spending time with Jesus. So y'all know what the first and second commandments are? Worship only God, have no idols. I broke them down really simple because they're a lot longer than that. See, we only have one thing, and it's God. That's our one thing. Don't worship your veil. Don't worship the idols. Don't worship the things that distract you from spending time with Jesus and from caring about others' eternal life. That's what it boils down to. That's what a Christ ambassador is. And finally, we're almost there. I'm going to touch on one key element of that you must have on this journey as a spokesperson for Christ. And there's a lot. Spending time with him, not letting the veils of the worries that you have distort your view of Jesus or your view that others have of you. Those are key elements, but you know, the one that really, really strikes home and that we all struggle with It's forgiveness. And I'm going to touch on that for a minute. It's probably the very, very best attribute that Jesus had, and one that we rarely use in this world today. 2 Corinthians 2, 5 through 11. If anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent. Not to put it too severely. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. Now instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, for that reason, to reaffirm your love for him. Another reason I wrote to you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. So there's a lot going on in there. And this goes back to a time in the church in Corinth where a man was kind of kicked out of the church. And Paul was at first for it and then realized that he was kind of getting overwhelmed by the enemy. And it's like time to bring him back into the church and comfort him. So Paul's saying that there's a time and a need for correction and a time for comfort. And if we don't forgive a wrong that has been inflicted upon us, then we give Satan the foothold. If we don't forgive someone who's hurt us, then Satan has a chance to come in for on both your part and the part of the person who has wronged you. If correction is done in love, it causes restoration of relationship. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. There is no time limit on forgiveness. There is no bargaining for forgiveness. There is no price for forgiveness. Jesus already paid it. A friend of mine said this a while back. Forgiveness from authentic life spent with Jesus is true forgiveness. Forgiveness from an authentic life spent with Jesus is true forgiveness. It's not like, I'm sorry and call it good. It's hard. Forgiveness is hard. And whether what you harbor is family hurt, I know some of you harbor church hurt, friendship hurt, or hurt that you've inflicted on someone else or yourself. True forgiveness offers restored relationship. And it can only come from a space of true representation of who Jesus is. That's why forgiveness is a key element when you go out into the world as an ambassador for Christ. Let forgiveness be a core manner in representing Jesus. See, forgiveness is a beautiful example of staying on mission with the right motivation to bring Jesus to others. Your manner in what you do. Matthew 10:16 says this. This is scary. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Being an ambassador for Christ is a mission, and it's one that we're all on. And with the right motivation and the right manner in which to do it, you will be successful. We give hope to the people around us. God never said it was going to be easy. As a matter of fact, he said it'll cost us. But I guarantee it won't cost you as much as it cost Jesus on the cross. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for loving us so much that you sent us your son. We thank you for giving us that opportunity to be reconciled to you, to be with you for eternity. And I know it's a big job to go out into this world, Father, and to just proclaim who you are to us. But it should come easy to us. It should be something that we're proud of. It should be something that we take to heart. It's a privilege to know who you are and to know that you have saved us. And if we look at that as a privilege, Father God, and we look at that as we want to bring eternal life to those around us, to those that we're in relationship, to those that we have an influence over, it becomes easy because we let the Holy Spirit take the lead. Father, I ask as we go out today and we go into our work week and we interact with the people that you've put before us, I pray, Father God, that we're bold and we're courageous and we're true, we're honest about who we are, and the veil is lifted so that people see Jesus in us on a daily basis by our words and our actions, our love for you and your love for all of us and all mankind. We give this day to you, Father, and we just ask that you bless us as we go into our week. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Hill City Teaching Podcast. We hope it was helpful to you to become a more devoted disciple of Jesus. More information can be found at www.hillcity.church.